My guests are two filmmakers who don't make movies. They make the trailers that preview the movies. Their companies did the trailers for several films that are nominated for Oscars. Michael Green's company, The Ant Farm, produced the trailers for Chicago, Adaptation, and The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Mark Wolin's company, Mark Wolin & Associates, produced the trailers for The Pianist and About Schmidt. Last week, About Schmidt got the most awards at the Golden Trailers 4th Annual Ceremony. That's the Oscars of the trailers world. About Schmidt won awards for Best of Show, Best Comedy, Best Voiceover, and Best Music. The music in the trailer is often different from the music in the actual film. Often the film's soundtrack hasn't even been completed when the trailer is produced. Here's the trailer for About Schmidt.
Dear Ndugu, my name is Warren R. Schmidt, and I am your new foster father. I am 66 years old and recently retired as assistant vice president at Woodman of the World Insurance Company. When I was a kid, I used to think that somehow destiny had tapped me to be a great man. But somehow, it just didn't work out that way. All I know is life is short, Ndugu, and I can't afford to waste another minute. Just close my
eyes again. Let's start with a question that everyone wants to know, which is, why do coming attractions so often give away so much of the plot, or so many of the jokes, or so many of the action high points of the film? So often people, after seeing coming attractions, say that they feel like they've already seen the movie.
I think because, you know, it is a business, and things are kind of so market-driven, and there's a big investment that studios are trying to recoup, and there's a lot riding on that opening weekend, that they have to rely on research testing as a tool as to, you know, what elements are going to make people go see this movie. And so the more of those elements you put in, the higher the testing scores go, and therefore,
it ends up in the trailer. That's not always the case, but you're right. More often than not, it seems like all the best bits are in the trailer and what's left in the movie. I can say to that we wouldn't necessarily want to put all the worst bits in the trailer, and you know that certainly wouldn't advertise the film. I think that a lot of us who make trailers sometimes have a real problem with the fact that it's a very research-driven business now, because years ago, we would pretty much do what we thought as trailer makers and marketers, to sell a movie. But we've sort of employed lots of other people in the research game to help us out.
All films are rated, and there are certain things that you're not allowed to show depending on what the rating is. Are all coming attractions rated?
Yes.
Yes.
And do they all have to be like a general audience kind of rating?
Yes.
Yes.
So even if you're promoting an R movie, uh-huh, it still has to play to a G audience?
Right. The MPAA has, in fact, there's a woman, her name is Bethlyn Hand, who is going to be retiring this year. She's been doing this for many, many years. And she and her staff see every trailer that's made, and they approve it for all audiences, regardless of whether it's an R or a G. It still has to go through that process in order to make sure, hopefully, that young children, families, are seeing things that are not inappropriate.
So can you think of a film that you did that was an R and you had to translate it into G terms for the trailer and still represent what the movie was about?
The example that always comes to mind for me that was really challenging is we did the trailer for Traffic a couple of years ago, and here was a movie that was, you know, an examination of drugs in society and all their far-reaching effects. But, you know, we were saying the word drugs, there's drugs throughout the movie, but when it came to doing the trailer, we had a really difficult time even getting a single mention of the word drugs in, or an image of even just a package of something that may kind of infer drugs. So that was really hard when the movie is, you know, all about drugs.
Right.
There's a lot of other things I think that have come up, you know, probably especially post-Columbine with, you know, gunplay and things like that. And So I think a lot of the stuff has to end up being a little more sanitized than, you know, maybe primetime television would be, because the idea is that it may have to play, you know, with the new Rugrats movie or something. And so you have to make it safe for all audiences.
Are there any trailers that you've done where you've been told that the trailer really succeeded in selling the movie?
I think that we did a trailer this year for a movie called Catch Me If You Can.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't nominated for anything. It was one of my favorite trailers we did this year. And I think it really sold the movie beautifully. From the get-go, Leonardo DiCaprio says, "I'm going to buy you a steak dinner." And then the girl behind the window just laughs, and you could just see how giddy she is, that she's excited and titillated by this guy, this handsome movie star. And, you know, boom, we're off and running on this kind of fun, exciting story. And, I mean, that was one of my favorites this year, and a lot of people told me that they really liked it, and I think that certainly the box office didn't hurt from that trailer.
You used music in there that wasn't in the movie, Don't Rain on My Parade. How did you come up with that?
Well, actually, we had a meeting in my office, the producer of the trailer and the editor and myself, and we had our music supervisor. We have at my company, we have a music department, and we try very hard to come up with all kinds of music ideas, and the more brains on it, the better. This particular project, a guy named Nathan Duvall was in my office and said, "How about Don't Rain on My Parade by Bobby Darin? It's perfect." And it was. I mean, it had shown up in American Beauty a couple of years ago. do you remember the scene when Annette Bening is driving and she's singing the song, I believe?
Oh.
Anyway, it's a great piece of filmmaking, and so I guess Nathan thought, "Gee, wouldn't this be a fun movie?" It was, mm-hmm. You know,
it's a good find.
It really captured, I think, you know, the spirit of the film. And at that time, we didn't have a soundtrack we didn't have a score, so there you go. That's true.
How did you each get into this business?
By accident. I can't speak for Mark, but for me. I came out to California to be in the movie business and ended up getting a job at a company that does trailers. And I thought, this is really cool because you get to make a new movie, you know, like all the time. Every trailer is a little mini movie, and it's, I guess, for somebody who has a short attention span like myself, it seemed to work.
No, well, I mean, it certainly is such a specialized thing. I don't think anyone ever grows up thinking that they want to do this because, you know, you don't know that it's out there, I guess. I started editing professionally when I was about 16 and was working on documentaries and was working on a show called America's Most Wanted, and was at a point where I just couldn't handle cutting together a scene of someone else being, you know, killed in a horrible death again this week. And there was an ad in Variety for a company that was doing trailers, and I thought, well, that might be an interesting thing to try. And so I started working there and went from there.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Great.
Well,
thank
you,
Terry.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Mark Willen of Mark Willen & Associates and Michael Greenfeld of The Ant Farm. Both companies produce movie trailers. Here's The Ant Farm's trailer for the film with the most Oscar nominations, Chicago.
A flash of leg. The taste of temptation. The smell of corruption. And things that go bump. The night.
Slick your hair and wear your buckle shoes. And all that jazz.
Velma has it.
I want a brand new start to do that jazz.
Roxy wants it.
All my life I wanted to have my own act.
That's great. I'll be in touch.
You know, I'm not quite finished yet.
Face it, Roxy.